broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. From Boots to Biz Radio, sharing helpful information and practical insight about the franchise industry for the military veteran entrepreneur. Now, here's your host, Bill Williams.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to From Boots to Biz Radio. And we are indeed dedicated to promoting business ownership among military veterans, military spouses, and first responders. I am Bill Williams, and my trusty sidekick, Kevin Finn, is over here on the big board.
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Doing good, Kevin. Kevin, you getting out playing a golf?
Not with this weather. The weather's been crazy. It's either snowing, raining for 15 minutes, or it's nice and sunny. I never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, snow in Georgia 5 weeks before the Masters. That's not good.
Not at all.
Well, I say this every week, but I'm really excited about today. I have two good friends on. We have John Forrest and Dr. Paul Blumsack. Say hello, guys.
Hey, hello.
Welcome to our show. we're going to talk today about one chapter or a couple chapters, I guess, of reentering civilian life for folks out there that are in transition now or facing transition. And Paul's going to talk about a health rehab program. Is that a good way to describe it?
It's a benefit program for Iraq and Afghanistan veterans.
Okay. Talk about that. John's going to address opportunities in business and how military skills and experience can directly generate success. And we'll talk about his extensive career in a moment. But let's start with Paul, Dr. Blumsack.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for having me on board today.
Oh, we're happy to have you. It's good. Let me brag on you a little bit. Air Force veteran?
Yes, I am.
28 years married?
Yeah, now it's almost 29, so we're getting there.
To the same woman?
To the same woman. Five children.
Five children. And somewhere in that timeline, you also graduated from Life College. So you went through college, right, and while you were raising a family?
Yes, I did.
So you like to do things the hard way?
Yeah, we started with one child, left with three.
Okay.
And now have five. So natural living at its best.
There you go. Well, listen, I think I've heard you talk before about this program. I'd like to have you tell our listeners out there, you know, more about it and how they can avail themselves of you know, a similar program or in other locations around the country.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the things as a veteran, I was always looking to find ways to help veterans. Mm-hmm. And I got affiliated with a program through the International Chiropractors Association called ICA Cares, developed by a Dr. R.J. Kelly out of Houston, Texas, good friend of mine. And he realized that there was a missing gap. We've got a lot of these veterans coming out from Iraq and Afghanistan with PTSD, traumatic brain injury, mm-hmm. don't know how to shut the fight or flight off. And right now their only options or alternatives are medication, drugs, alcohol, yeah. a combination of all three, or some other stimulus to keep them going. And as a chiropractor, we work with the nervous system, and it controls everything, and we know it deals yep. with fight or flight. And so we put out there that, hey, we're gonna promote a program that says, you know, if you're a returning veteran from these two places, we're here to help. It's 1 year free chiropractic care and services. And by doing this, we can show you a natural way of being able to get back into society, get healthy again, and move forward in your career. And it's been a great program. There's other programs out there that have developed. They're short-term, long-term. This one's 1 year.
1 year program.
It's a 1 year free chiropractic program where all over the country volunteers have put their names in and said, hey, I'm willing to serve and help. And so what I try to teach the people that I come in contact with, look, it's not just about my office. It's about offices all over the country. Mm-hmm. helping out these veterans who desperately need our help. And in that case, you know, we're working to promote it each and every day, however we can.
That's wonderful. Now, a couple things. You rapidly skipped over this word free, mm-hmm. And let's make sure that people out there understand that if you're an Iraq, Afghanistan veteran and you're suffering from just reentering, right, the life, whether it's PTSD or just adjusting, you know, however you like to define it, that we can, through the International
Chiropractors Association,
you can get this CARES program.
Is that right? You can go to their website, which is chiropractic.org, And on the banner on the left-hand side is an ICU Cares program. It is free. Well, and it's really up to the doctor's discretion of where they want, because we've had veterans returning since 1991, you know.
Yep.
So in my office, the criteria is over the last couple of years is, hey, you're here. And we can make exceptions. I do have one patient who travels from Warner Robins. He's 5 years out of the country.
Wow.
All right. So, but in the process, he came out of surgeries, couldn't walk anymore, and his wife came across this program, called several of the numbers, reached me, and I said, look, you know, I can find you, but then I can find you someone closer. But I realized, hey, he's calling me. He's probably waiting hours on end in a waiting room at a doctor's office anyways. Come on up. Let's see what we can do. And he's almost 1 year into the program. He's gone from not being able to walk to walk.
Wow.
His blood pressure medication's down. And we're not, you know, I'm not talking about curing him, but he's off of all but one medication. And his quality of life has changed dramatically.
Oh, yeah. Wow, it's wonderful.
And if we could do that for more veterans, whether they're husband, you know, a male or female, that is a benefit to society so that they can move on and maybe transition to being an entrepreneur or business owner.
There you go. That's what we want. So that's fantastic. That's a wonderful program, and I thank you for bringing it forward and talking about it. So, continue down that path. You know, you also had a career in the corporate world, right?
Yeah, I have an interesting background. When I got out of the military, I was one of 30,000 that had
interesting
the
subjective.
It is subjective. I was one of 30,000 that had an opportunity to either re-enlist, extend, or get out. And back in '88, I decided I was going to get out, see what it was like to be in the real world, and got into an opportunity to work for a manufacturing company developing lasers. And I realized I thought at the time the college education was the key to success, so that's what I did. I pursued a college education and then had a opportunity to become a chiropractor and travel to Georgia, did that, and in the process of coming to Life College, now Life University, we started with one child, left with three, practiced for a while, and, you know, sometimes you get out of balance, and I got a little bit out of balance in terms of my time, and stepped back and went into corporate America for 5 years.
Wow.
I never stopped practicing, but I got into corporate America, and the longer I was there, and this is a Fortune 50 company, by the way, so...
Yeah.
You know, when they lose money big. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, you worry about losing $100. So these people lose $1 million. And it just kept making me realize how many people need my help.
Good.
How many people. And it just kind of put that burn back in me to go back full time, take the leap of faith, take a part-time house office into a part-time facility, and then to open full-time again a year ago.
Fantastic.
So I've been in practice 17 years. So it's but pluses and minuses. But through that experience, you get to realize, see the benefits of having. And I'm going to tie this back into business for Bill, having the ability to be your own boss, have your own business, and control your destiny versus someone else controlling your destiny.
Yeah, but that's a fabulous feeling. Yeah,
I mean, yes, it is.
It's exciting.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, those $100 losses. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, let's touch on chiropractic as a, if I'm using the term properly, as a opportunity for veterans. You know, who might want to, you know, who maybe they're in that, they take advantage of that program, or maybe they heard about it, and you know, is there career, you know, opportunities there?
There are great opportunities for veterans to become chiropractors, and that's one of my passions. As I joined VetBuds, I reached out to John. Mm-hmm. And this is how we've all met. I said, John, I need a way to promote this program. And he said, let's come to VetBuds, the ICA Cares program. And then through that, we've created some relationships. And I remember you saying there's 1 million veterans going to be getting out within the next 5 years.
That's right.
What are they going to do? And I know in the past, the chiropractic profession has grown through helping veterans that could not get help anywhere else, whether it was World War One or World War Two, or even after Vietnam, where they said, look, they don't offer this anymore. You can come to the school to be a patient and get better, or you can come to the school and be a patient and then become a chiropractor to help other people. It's going to cost you the same amount of money. Hmm. And in that process, they grew the profession by helping people who had severe health challenges. And so my goal right now is to help let veterans know that this is a great opportunity. More and more people need chiropractic care than ever before.
Yep.
And through Mark Eister, who was one of your speakers a couple of weeks ago, I think.
Yes, he was.
We're trying to create affiliation between the school that he works with and his veterans outreach program and one of the chiropractic colleges to help create an alliance where they can transition those two-year school students into a professional degree such as chiropractic.
Well, you and I, Paul, by proxy, were introduced through veterans. I was stationed at 4th FSSG at the time and in the Marine Corps and was introduced to chiropractic by a common friend who was at Life and then went and was then introduced to Paul. And Paul has been my family chiropractor. I almost had the years wrong because I'm fortunate enough every time I go in his office, I get to see a picture of my 19-year-old daughter who is, you know, been under care. But Paul adjusted my son within 1 hour of his birth.
Wow.
16 years and 3 months ago.
Wow.
Yep.
So Paul has been my family doctor for almost two decades, and I'm very proud to say that. But we were introduced through through the Marine Corps and through, obviously, a veteran affiliation.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Good. That's terrific. Thank you.
Power connection.
Yeah. You look healthy, so.
Thank you. I feel healthy.
We won't go there, but
don't touch me there.
Paul, you also, I mean, as a chiropractor, I mean, you're your own boss, so you have the entrepreneurial spirit, and you know that's another thing to take
Paul's
off.
Paul's wife is his boss.
Oh, okay. Well, we
no,
can all,
John, your wife is your boss.
We can all say
this is true.
Yeah,
this is true.
Paul and I work together. Okay, that's the difference. So, and I'm learning more and more to listen to her.
Yeah.
You know, her feedback actually is has more value sometimes than mine. In the past, I would have said, "Oh no, that's a bad idea." Then I realized, no, I was being scared.
So yeah.
And then I realized, yeah, that's a wonderful idea. Let's run with that. It's a good idea. So
good.
It's that trust factor after 29 years finally learning at it. Yes. But this isn't a marriage show, so
I learned too to ask my wife, "What do I want to do today, honey?"
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So.
Yeah, Kevin's over here chuckling because he's not married yet. But
there's that proverbial word.
Hopefully, my girlfriend's not listening.
Okay. So. Is that a proposal or?
So let's talk about entrepreneurism and chiropractic, because you really are your own boss, right? Well,
we are.
Yeah.
There's variations of how you can practice. You can get out and start open your own practice yourself. You can go out and be an associate, work for another doctor, and you'll learn the pluses and minuses of both.
Mm-hmm.
You can tie in. There are some franchises out there that allow you to get into practice.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's systems out there. And the best thing, you know, when I got out, I had a couple different opportunities, and I wound up going and working for a doctor. And in that process, you learn a lot. You get exposed to a lot of patients. You get to help a lot of people. And you also, you tend to learn the stuff you don't want to learn or say that I won't do that in my office. And that's the thing about having a free spirit. You take what you take the positive out of it, and maybe learn from their mistakes, and then you go and hopefully don't make those same mistakes, and then seek out mentorship or counseling. I'm very big on not trying to create a wheel that's already been duplicated.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather go out and reach and talk to successful people who've got that knowledge, who now can apply it as wisdom. And that's a part of, you know, one of the things that I'm focusing on, even as a veteran trying to help vets under care, and they may maybe expose them to chiropractic, is I think – success now is a long-term process. You have to be involved with someone from day one till the time they can flip it around and be the mentor and to do that. Because there's a lot of companies out there in chiropractic where people are pay to be managed, pay to learn systems and stuff like that. And we're at a point in our profession now where the group I belong to says, hey, we can help you. We've got the knowledge. We'll pull together. We have a band of brothers that we pull together and help each other and say, hey, here's a great resource. Talk to Bill Williams. He can provide that knowledge that we don't have as a business owner.
Good.
And so entrepreneurship is the forefront of America too. You know, free enterprising is exciting. So as a chiropractor, you can take it any level. You can work for a doctor. You can be your own boss. You can work in a group practice right now. We actually have several docs that share space in our office. which is pretty cool because we collaborate.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we share information and we
best practices.
Best practices. And we try to keep put our egos aside because we all have big egos to a point. Because at the end of the day, it comes down to, has it benefited the patient? It's okay. all to me, and that's how I always look at it. It's not about me. It's about the person receiving the service.
Yep.
Have they benefited? And whether you're an associate or an entrepreneur or a business owner or the exam doctor, it all comes into play. So there's great opportunities in chiropractic to do chiropractic.
Okay.
Because so, there's some doctors, some practices that kind of diverge into a lot of other things. I'm what they call a purist. I do chiropractic only, and I'd rather be a master of one thing and do it real well.
Good.
And we try to help teach that to other doctors, too, and students along the way.
Lesson well learned. And so the two messages coming out of this, you know, number one, the ICA CARES program,
mm-hmm.
okay, and for people who are thinking about it, they like to help others, chiropractic, you know, entrepreneurial spirit right there, you know, so you might be able to you know, find a new career in that direction.
Yeah.
That's terrific. Sure. Paul, thanks very much for being here. We'll come back around towards the end of the program. But how can people reach you?
Well, they can they can call me. I take my practice pretty seriously. My cell phone is on my business card. That is the only phone number.
Okay.
So when they call my office, they reach my cell, which is 770-362-6430.
Okay.
I have a website, blumsackfamilychiropractic.com.
Yep.
And then also they can reach me by email if they want to. You want me to give my email address?
Sure, go right ahead.
It's D as in Dr., R as in Robert, Blumsack, @gmail.com.
That's very good. On the webpage or on the landing page for the show, there'll be a link when you're on your name that'll take you right to your website.
Excellent, so, thank you.
So people can reach you that way. And I would assume that you'll field calls about mentoring people who might want to explore the chiropractic as a career.
Yes, I will.
Excellent. Thanks again. We'll come back around.
My pleasure.
You. Okay. All right. Let's go over here to. That's right. my friend, retired Marine Corps Major John Forrest. John, thank you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And let me brag on you a little bit. Over 20 years in the Marine Corps, reserves and active. Okay. Enlisted. So you served as a worker bee for a few years, right?
Yep, just a few.
And then you were commissioned. I don't know about you, but I had a little bit of that life too, and I always felt like my life as a private, you know, helped me be a better officer because I understood, you know, what it was like to stand there by the bunk and in inspection and all those good things while somebody came through and looked at your boots and said, no, do it again.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. The perspective I had was the only time I saw my officers was when you were in trouble or my peers. I mean, whether it was me or whether it was them. And I did not see there being as much of an active representation of the enlisted Marine, mm-hmm. as I would have liked as an enlisted Marine, and so I said, I'm going to become a Marine officer so that I can represent the enlisted Marine, and it sounds very I don't know, made up,
idealistic or something.
But it's
very practical. Yeah. But you had a purpose, and that's an excellent motive. But we also thank you for your service because you served in Desert Storm, Desert Shield, then Desert Storm, and also back to Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom.
Yes, thank you very much.
So you got to see the elephant, as they say, right?
Got to meet him up close and personal, yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, I know you're, fabulous career in the Marine Corps, and a lot of commendations, a lot of acknowledgments and awards, including the Bronze Star. But now you're into your civilian career.
Yeah, I've actually had two bites at this apple. I transitioned as an enlisted Marine right into the officer corps. I had already had about three quarters of my bachelor's degree completed and enlisted in the Marine Corps and stayed in the Marine Corps Reserve as an enlisted Marine and finished my college degree and then went back through the final phase of officer candidate school and was commissioned and then immediately went through various schooling and then literally immediately to combat. I left school a couple weeks early and reported back into my unit and 8 days later was in Saudi Arabia getting ready to see what January of 1991 was going to bring for us in Desert Shield, Desert Storm. Mm-hmm. And then spent a couple more years on active duty and then left the Marine Corps, started a family, and stayed in the Marine Corps Reserve. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, where I enlisted in the Marine Corps, I returned to as a weapons platoon commander. Was my first reserve unit as an officer as well after I left active wow. duty. It was kind of an interesting coming home. Mm.
Fate.
Yeah, yeah, really. Yeah, end up there. Yeah, started as a private and end up there as a captain, and then moved on and moved down south, and so had started a career in the financial services industry, and stayed in the Marine Corps Reserve program. And then who knew after 9/11?
Yep.
I had a little bit of foresight and returned to active duty for what I thought was going to be a couple of months, and it turned out to be about 6 years. And so now I'm kind of having that second bite at the apple after, finishing my Marine Corps career and retiring and then going back. And I was telling a mutual friend of ours mm-hmm. one day when we met, I said, I feel like I'm 24 years old sitting on the bench at school and your dad saying to you, you know, it's about, you know, the second week of May. And he says, you know, the dorms are closing down in a couple of weeks. And you're going, well, yeah, I understand that, Dad. And he goes, well, so where are you going to live? You know, and you're going, well, now that you put it that way, you know, sitting here and just after, you know, the various issues that all of us have faced with the economy and you know, various ups and downs and just dealing with some of the obstacles of life, you know, found myself sitting there and at 40-something saying, there's a bright future out there for me. Yeah, what am I going to do now? So, yeah.
What's next? Well, now, you have two businesses, if I understand it right. You have the Forest Consulting Group.
Right.
And you have an Aflac business.
Yeah, when I got to the twilight part of my Marine Corps career, I went up to Washington, D.C., and I worked in a special interest program for the Department of Defense and Acquisitions, and had probably one of the more interesting experiences on the Beltway. That I think everybody, you know, can say that, but it was really an eye opener to me because I had just come from a senior staff position in the Marine Corps, mm-hmm. worked for several general officers, and got involved at a very high level in the acquisitions world inside of the Department of Defense with really no actual experience. I'd had project management experience. I'd had certainly a military experience, and I had mm-hmm. some technical communications, command and control experience. But when you're dealing in the world of acquisitions, it's a different language. It's a different process. And it was a lot of fun. And it was, at the same time, very eye-opening. And so through the various different transitions, I was the last one in on the program in one company, and when some funding issues hit, I was the first one out. And so I came back home saying, hey, you know, I would like to be able to have some kind of autonomy in the future. And so what I did was I started Forest Consulting Group, still evolving as a company mm-hmm. under the umbrella of being a service-disabled, veteran-owned small business.
Right.
And hoping to apply some of the experiences and some of the practical application issues that I have personally to an organization that can be attractive to both the government and to private industry from a project management standpoint. I went back to school. I got a master's in project management, and so kind of put some of the academia to the 25 or so years of experience that I had in project management, and started a company to hopefully in the next few years provide some kind of a solid a framework for a purposeful career, and not just for me, for others. So that so that what I'm able to do is I'm able to come in and leverage some of my relationships, you know, in the Department of Defense, and attract others who may want to apply their experiences.
Well, you know, and I want you to touch on AFLAC too. And but tell me, you know, we can go into AFLAC now, or or you know, but let's talk a little bit about, or let you talk a little bit about, you know, your military experience and skills that you you know, picked up, learned, earned, in the you know, in the military, and how you see those helping you succeed, and how others, you know, can see themselves coming into the business world, the for profit world, if you will, and applying those skills and being successful.
Well, one of the things that I recognized as I went back into the active duty world at the end of 2001, I'd had probably about an 8-year hiatus where I'd stayed in the reserves, you know, and there are responsibilities or, or 1 week in a month and 2 or so weeks, you know, throughout the year to do your active training. I did a little bit more, and I was heavily involved, but again, not being on active duty, returning. One of the things that I saw was this stovepipe mentality that I think that active duty people have a tendency to get caught up into, that there are only so many ways to solve a problem. I ran into this with a senior staff, and that they make comments like, now we got to think outside the box, and then when you bring in you bring a guy like me in, you know, or Paul, you know, where I've had both active duty experience and reserve experience, but I'm also in the corporate world. Okay, well, I've got a couple of ideas, and like, well, there's no way we can possibly do something like that. And well, so you're really not interested in thinking outside the box. And I began to develop this concept of what I call the citizen soldier. And I've borrowed that from somebody. I don't have an original bone in my body. I'm a burglar of good ideas.
It was George Washington, wasn't that citizen soldier?
Was it probably?
There might be a song. I'm not sure.
John's that old, by the
was
way.
There, yeah. That's why I'm losing my hair.
Hey.
But, no hair, John. It's not a receding hairline. That's in full retreat.
That's right.
But this concept of a citizen soldier who is, I think, much more able and much more equipped, in other words, has more arrows in his quiver than the other, because of the different experiences they've been exposed to. And so I think there's a full duplex, if you will, a relationship. In other words, that individual contributes as much to the military as then what you're asking is, what's the application to the civilian world? And I think it falls into a couple of categories. From the officer standpoint, and it's funny that this is the topic of conversation, in the last 10 days, I've had 3 separate conversations with people similar, you know, of my age and era, and reflecting back on some experiences, leadership experiences, and it made me think back to, you know, when I was 23 and 24 years old, I was leading men and women anywhere from 18 to 58 years old.
Wow.
Yep.
And I mean, literally, and it's funny, in my last tour of combat in 2003, I had a 58-year-old, a former Army, now at that time was a Marine Corps Master Sergeant. He was in Graves Registration in Vietnam. And imagine the perspective. In Desert Shield, Desert Storm, I had a gunnery sergeant that was a Vietnam vet. He was the only one, in that we counted on him for a tremendous amount of experience. But so so looking back and saying the first thing is the ability to have a vast repertoire of leadership.
Much deeper. Yep.
Tools. Yeah, whether it's somebody. Yeah. So if I walk into a leadership experience where I've got to deal with somebody who's significantly older or significantly younger, I've been there, done that. I mean, that's not really that much of a challenge. So the first thing, I think, is the array of leadership. I think that the second thing is the potential for the ability to be able to make decisions in an extremely stressful environment. I mentioned this morning at Vet Buds, I was talking with one of the gentlemen, and I said, you know, just think about the experience you have and throw the scenario on when you're interviewing for a job. And, well, you know, will you be able to handle the stress of this job? And, well, you know, how often are you going to be shooting at me?
Yeah.
And you look, right. You know, look across the table and they're like, what? Did you read my resume? I mean, do you see what experience I have? I don't know that you're going to stress me out. Well, you might have to work, you know, 10 hours a day.
Really?
Do I get to run the obstacle course too? I mean, are we going to talk about hand-to-hand combat? What are you talking about? I go, you need to read my resume.
You're going
to
fall out at dawn and do a PT with us? Or, right. You know, I mean, come on, let's go.
Right, and I think that I think that also falls into that category of where you actively have performed in a stressful environment. But importantly, you're able to recognize others who are. So I think from a leadership standpoint, you're able to be a better selector and a better team builder, if you will, and recognize those that are susceptible to not getting out of the rack in the morning. I mean, you know, that sort of thing. And then the third thing I think is I really do believe
the rack. Kevin?
I know what the rack is.
Okay.
I do.
In the Marine Corps?
My dad was in Vietnam, so
okay. It's he raised rack. Me. Yeah. Yeah. In the Army, it's a bunk. In the Air Force, it's a pillow top. So,
sleep number now.
I got a loss for words right now, Bill.
I'm sorry. Burn. Take us off that. Okay. Sorry I had to do that.
We all serve in our own capacity.
That's right.
That's funny, right? Yeah, I say that to my Aflac guys. I say, if I got to teach you to get out of the rack in the morning, I say, we're not going to get along very well. And sometimes you get a couple looks and, what? Yeah. Hey, this isn't 50 Shades of Grey here, you know.
Kids these days.
The kids, he's listening to him.
Yeah.
Right.
But these kids these days have probably served combat, so.
Yeah, well, a lot many, of guys. Yeah, yeah, we make that mistake. Sure, yeah, yes. Yeah, we had a couple of kids this morning at our Vet Buds. I mean, these kids were, 19, 20 years old and had already been back from Afghanistan and, you know, started recounting to me afterwards of, I was with, 2-3 and 1-5, and I'm going, wow, man. You know, these are the historical, you know, warriors of the Marine Corps. But the third element is that we have an overwhelming desire to be a part of what the United States of America is about. What this country is about, what it stands for, and what it has stood for its existence, you know, the last 230 some odd years, and I really think that is an important benchmark because, and it doesn't mean that you support every socio-political and economic issue out there. This isn't a political statement.
Right.
It's a I think it's a spirit, a humility type of a statement. I think that the people that serve in the United States military, and I mean in whatever capacity, I mean that can be civilian service, that can be government service, that can be the Coast Guard, Homeland Security. I mean just that concept that you are standing up and you are representing the United States of America, I think that all of the guys and gals that make that transition to now when we say the civilian world or the corporate community, I think they have something extra inside of them to contribute. And so I think those are the three elements that I see as contributing from my experience in the military and certainly in the Department of Defense in transition to the commercial world.
Mm-hmm. So that, let me try and I made more notes than three, but motivation, motivated to succeed, leadership, and probably leadership, maybe a deep pool of experience kind of plays together there, and a serious commitment to to the United States and what we're trying to do as a country and what we stand for throughout the world. You know, one of the things, and we were joking, making fun of Paul and the bunks and racks and but there's a camaraderie, and it's remarkable. You know, it you feel it, almost instantly. You know, it just breaks down barriers immediately for conversation, for trust, etc. And I do want to talk before we get off about. It's come up a couple of times, Vet Buds, and because I want to get that word out there. But come back John, and talk a little bit about what you're trying to do with Aflac and why you're there and who you're looking for.
Yeah, I had a financial and obviously an insurance background throughout much of the 90s. Mm-hmm. And so when I came back to Marietta, rather than go try to resurrect that profession, I said, you know, I'm in this do no harm part of my life. You know, I've retired from the Marine Corps. Time to move on. And I said, you know, what kind of an organization do I think I have experience? Would I be good at? And I look back at the insurance world, and coincidentally got an email. And a really good friend of mine back in the 90s, who I got to go to the World Series with, as a matter of fact, when the Braves won the World Series here, is a very famous Aflac representative. And so I went into what was his old region and shook the guy's hand and said, hey, I think I can bring something to the table as far as experience, leadership, training, mm-hmm. and took on a position of trying to help people grow their careers. And I take it from an approach of showing them rather than teaching them. Mm-hmm. I take them out and I take them through a 90-day wonder class, if you will, and try to create a situation where they are they're capable, and they're able to pursue a career. And then we continue to use some of the Fortune 100 company support classes and the Aflac Academy to continue their education for about the next year, year and a half, and give an opportunity to grow. I and why I think that this is a valid pursuit in business today is that the next wealth curve, I think, is going to be in the healthcare industry. Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. that if we look back and we say, you know, if it were the 80s, I'd rather have gotten into the
technology,
telephone world, right, in the early 80s rather than 89, and I would have liked to have gotten into computers in, you know, early 90s instead of the late 90s. And now, because of Obamacare or the, you know, the Patient Protective and Affordable Healthcare Act, that we're going to have 300+ million actively interested people in healthcare from an insurance industry standpoint, mm-hmm. and Aflac being in the supplemental world is perfectly positioned to help people. Yep. And so I see this as being a tremendous opportunity. It's kind of the perfect storm, if you will, of those that have an entrepreneurial spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, because you're on your own. You know, you're building your own career, and with that autonomy, being able to be a solid contributor, you're bringing to the market the top products, the top company, not just in, you know, their duck commercials and their funniness, you know, that sort of thing, but really a solid organization.
But very well known through those commercials. I mean, brilliant strategy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Branding, certainly. Yeah. So I see that kind of perfect storm as being today the opportunity for and it's for veterans, and you and I have mm-hmm. talked about this certainly within your career.
Yep.
You know, the franchising opportunity is a very, very attractive opportunity for somebody who has spent an active career and saved some money, certainly been deployed for a long time, and, mm-hmm. and you're the perfect person to help them as that conduit
to
the market.
Yeah.
For those that may not have that pocketbook,
yep.
or just don't say, you know what, I don't get it. Maybe they have an entrepreneurial instinct that is kind of burning, and they need someone to fan that flame. And maybe I'm the person to offer that conduit.
That path,
through
Aflac. Absolutely, absolutely, it's great. Well, I mean, there's a common theme here. You know, I mean, not only the camaraderie, but you know, Aflac is really there to, you know, address needs, you know, supplemental insurance. So you're helping people. Paul's over here helping people, you know, with their health,
yep.
and helping veterans. You're offering opportunities for veterans. That's what this show is all about, is trying mm-hmm. to spread the word of entrepreneurial spirit, and that there are options that people should look at and consider. And we're trying to make those known around the old internet, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So. Well, you wanted to put a little plug in for VetBuds, too.
Mm-hmm. I did.
Yes.
I did.
Let me help you just real quick
okay.
with you, and I'll
okay.
kind of set the stage for you, because Paul and I have many different relationships, and again, you know, have for the better part of 20 years. I mean, Paul and I are personal friends. We're in each other's lives from a personal standpoint. Paul is the guy who I can call at 2 o'clock in the morning, or you know, he can call me and say, "Hey, and I need help with moving a washer and dryer." You know, the last things that you want to have
still to do. Still making me pay for that one, by the way.
Up this remarkable steep set of stairs with his entire family watching instead of no. The payback is, hey, every single time I've called Paul. Regardless, never. What do you need me to do? I'll be right there. But in a professional standpoint, Paul and I were a part of a referral group that we both had started back in the 90s, and we were in business then, and did business with each other. Mm-hmm. Paul was a client of mine when I was a financial planner, and I was a patient of Paul's. And we have this camaraderie, like you said, mm-hmm. that was based upon a couple of other things, and then all of a sudden. We both looked at our lives. I'd retired from the Marine Corps, and I imagine, similar to you, wasn't done serving. And had then all of a sudden run into
yep.
Emil, a Parody fellow Marine, and not knowing, and him saying, hey, get involved in a couple of things. Oh, and hey, by the way, I need to introduce you to Bill Williams. And then, you know, you and I met that day at the coffee shop.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
There's this vet buzz. I need to introduce you to Kent Sharp. And so then Paul comes and we come over there. And what I see vet buds as being is the that third element that I described before, mm-hmm. Our willingness to support the United States of America. And this is our ability to continue to serve, even though we're not climbing ropes and we're not running the obstacle course and we're not deploying and jumping out of airplanes. We're continuing to serve now. Our fellow veterans, as they make a transition, as they are struggling, falling on hard times, or in a opportunity to open the door for them like this.
Yep. Well, VetBuds, and for anyone you know who listened to this broadcast, we have a LinkedIn group called VetBuds, and we welcome military veterans to that group nationwide. But it started off as a group of people who just wanted to really start a business networking group, not a leads group or a referral group, just a business networking group for veterans and provide. And our theme is our spirit is veterans helping veterans. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're not trying to be the VFW or the VA or anything else. We're just trying to help people make connections and then you guys, you know, so we now have a regular group here that meets in Johns Creek, Georgia. And you guys have started a group more convenient to where you live out in West Cobb County.
Yes.
And, I mean, our group, as you call it, the mothership, John.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
We get 20, 25 people to a breakfast meeting and lasts an hour, you know, hour and 15 minutes. We go around the table and you now have, what, 10, 15?
Well, we struck out, this was in May of 2011. Paul and I said.
Actually 12 last year.
Yeah. I think it was 11, wasn't it? Was it 12?
Yeah.
It was 12. Okay, yeah. I got my years wrong. You're right. Yeah. I'm wrong. We're almost a year old. That's right. And it was the year before that started. Yep. Yes. Sorry, thinking about the mothership there.
Yep.
and the selfish motivation was I as much as I like to get out of the rack at 5:30 in the morning, I didn't really want to have to make the drive to Johns Creek from Marietta.
Yep.
So let's bring the group closer to home and see if there wasn't a way to expand it. And so Paul found us a terrific place, a little coffee shop that had a conference room. And, mm-hmm. and right now, after experiencing a couple of meetings, I mean, where it was, you know, me and Paul and, you know, one other guy or two other guys or me and Paul. And
yeah.
we now have to put some chairs in the room. We get about 10, sometimes 15 people, and the format is similar, but we do it every other Thursday. Mm-hmm. Our feeling was that this might build this core group of people that we want, and then we will continue to build the cyber.
Yeah, we have the cyber side of things too, and right. So we try to promote that as well. Just because you can't attend the meeting doesn't mean you can't be involved, whether
right.
you have a need or something to provide. So keep reading those emails, and that's what David Zimmerman's been able to do.
Yep.
and help us keep people in the loop. And it's interesting how people will jump in at a time when we think they're not even involved and say, hey, by the way, I have a resource.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to jump in. I'm sorry, John.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Talk about the power of connection, because we are all sitting in this room because John Forrest, who had just got out of the Marine Corps, was in that transition mode, and he says, I don't know where I'm he's trying to look at how to get things jump-started. And I said, you need to go talk to Dr. Tim Langley, who's a veteran, by the way.
Right.
Yes.
Who then led him to Emil, who's a veteran, who led him to Bill, who now we're full circle promoting the things that we do, the connections, power of free enterprise, and also we've got a Vet Buds group going on.
Yeah, Paul is terrific. One of the biggest contributions I think that he brings is Paul doesn't go anywhere without making a friend. We'll be standing in the line at the bagel shop, and you know Paul's got three or four business cards, and met two guys in the Marine Corps, you know, and I'm over there still trying to open my eyes and figure out what I'm going to eat, and he's met people and are already inviting.
I'll pay you
the
later
group.
For that, John.
but that's it's the truth, and so what it has done for this as an organization, it's attracted like he said a young guy like David Zimmerman, who is a neighbor of mine, is starting a real estate career,
mm-hmm.
and is honestly a different generation.
Former Marine. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you're never a former Marine.
No, right? You're always a former Marine. Okay. Unless they throw you out, you're an ex-Marine. A former Marine, And he brought two young Army reservists to the meeting today that made Paul and I stop and think on the way driving over here to say, hey, you know what? We really need to cultivate that generation. Mm-hmm. It's so funny, just before here you say, hey, there's the Vietnam veterans, a group that you guys have in Dunwoody, but now there's an Iraq,
Afghanistan.
So, and that's going to transcend a couple of different generations, because that's covering the 18 to my age, and a little older now, and that's part of our group, and certainly a different thing that we need to focus on.
Sure.
But the other thing that I think VetBuds does is that it allows us to work within a capability set. And that capability set is, as you said, helping one veteran at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a huge success.
Mm-hmm.
This cyber realm is there for help in providing the different resources we need, whether it be employment or whether it be actual physical things. And when we had a call to action a couple weeks ago for two families, we were able to respond on both levels. And Paul spearheaded that with a couple
Change
of
for Georgia. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
Mark Eister.
Mike
yes.
Eister. Yeah.
So
yeah.
And that I was just great. Used my office as a drop-off point.
Yeah.
So. By the way, Remington and his mother are going to be on the show in a couple of weeks.
Oh, really? That's great. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. Well, all good. I mean, and I think the message about VetBuds that we want to leave out there in cyberspace is that, hey, you can do this wherever you are. If you're in, Valdosta, Georgia, if you're in, someplace in Idaho, if you're in Lincoln, Nebraska, start a veterans networking group, and just, whether it's a breakfast club or whatever, and share that camaraderie and share resources and share common interests, you can create some real magic by doing that. It's been great to watch. So,
yes.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. It's been a wonder. I thought it was going to be a good show, Kevin. And
it was
been
a great show. It was an honor to talk to these guys. So.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You.
Thanks for having us.
Well, this is the way we close out here is the International Franchise Association describes a franchisepreneur. Thank you. As one possessing the desire to become a business owner without reinventing the wheel. And the National Veteran-Owned Business Association, also called NOVOBA, defines a vetrepreneur as a military veteran who organizes and manages a business. Our mission at From Boots to Biz Radio is to help create more business owners among military veterans and military spouses by providing information, education about how to make the best business choice for your family and future career and minimize your risk. So for more information, you can contact me directly. That's Bill Williams, but my email is bwilliams@4axiom.com. bwilliams@4axiom.com. And you can check our homepage on Business Radio X website. just Google Business Radio X and drill down to From Boots to Biz Radio, and you'll see all the episodes of our radio show. And we'll also, we have a webinar schedule. We have webinars coming up on March 26th and April 9th, all about franchising. So this is Bill Williams. I'm hosting From Boots to Biz Radio. And any questions, you know, give us a call. And until next week, carry on.